think I'm entitled?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
President Donald Trump holding a commanding lead over his GOP rivals in both Iowa and in New Hampshire, despite spending the week in court instead of campaigning in the Hawkeye State. But with Chris Christie now out of the running, Nikki Haley might see a bump in her numbers as an estimated 65% of his supporters could swing to Haley. The former president brushing that aside during a Fox News town hall this week, confident that he's got the primary locked up and maybe even the White House.
I'm not exactly worried about it. I understand New Hampshire very well. I'm leading Biden in all of the polls. A guy like Biden, there's nothing he can run on. Everything he's turned out, it's turned out badly.
Who would be in the running for vice president?
Well, I can't tell you that, really. I mean, I know who it's going to be.
But he's not telling you. My nominee for vice president will be Larry Connors. Well, I don't think so. There was Donald Trump, of course, playing a little coy about who's the possibility of a running mate. It's interesting note over the weekend, Vivek Ramaswamy had made a remark that got him some heat from the Trump camp, and he immediately apologized, saying it was taken out of context, whatever. I don't know if he thought, hey, I don't want any division lines between me and Trump. Let's kind of keep us close together. Trump, in one of the more recent interviews, has admitted that Vivek's a smart guy. You know, he knows a lot of things. But, of course, in his mind, he's not presidential timber, whether or not he's going to be vice presidential timber. But in the beginning, when you had all these other nominees coming forward, once they started announcing and they had that first debate that had all of them, Donald Trump's reaction was, I wouldn't take either one of them. Which brings to mind, would it be South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem? Could it be Arizona candidate at one time, Kerry, who went in for governor? Senate? I mean, there are a lot of options open still. But all of this is a speculation game. The real thing is right today is the Iowa caucus. And shortly behind that is going to be New Hampshire. If you don't carry one or both of those, you're pretty much done. Two bullets fired, and if you don't have anything to show for it of substantial notice, the rest of everyone else will just walk away and move their money and their prestige and their authority and direction to someone else. Thanks for joining us. Here we are. This is January 15, 2024. Wherever you're listening to us, you think it's cold? It's colder in Iowa, believe me. But it's also hot as they gather for their caucus meetings. So here we are, the first hour of two of Larry Connors USA, back-to-back for you, and reminding you every Monday through Friday, when we're on the air from 6 to 8 p.m., we are streaming video. You can see it at News Talk, STL, Facebook, and Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Facebook, and Twitter, and, of course, on all the Rumble channels and numerous other places, Larry Connors USA, Facebook. Someone said the other day, said, I see you have big numbers in one place and not so many others. You're diluting your own platform. I said, I'm just trying to make it sure it's available to everyone in any way they want it, however they want it, when they want it. Yeah, I've taken note of it. I've seen some numbers sometimes exceeding 1,000 on one channel or the other, and another way down. The other day, the numbers might move around. I don't care. I'm just glad to have you on board. But I also appreciate whenever you watch or listen at a later date, push the share button. Get others involved in our conversation. Now, there's one thing that came out from the very beginning, and that was Nikki Haley and Trump. Now, keep in mind, she had been a governor, and he appointed her to be our U.S. ambassador to the U.N., and I will stand here and state again, I thought you did a very good job as UN ambassador. Trump didn't give her that much guff at that point, but now that she's an opponent in this race for the White House, he's saying basically she really wasn't that strong in the UN. I'm going to have to take exception with that statement. I think she did really what we expected of her, maybe more. But you know how it is. She can be the best of friends until somebody gets poked in the eye with a stick. Things change. It's like playing poker. You're all friends having a good time, but once the cards are in the air, you don't have any friends at that table. Not one. So Trump was commenting in one of the town hall meetings in Iowa about Nikki Haley, how she was seeking his support, how she was after him, and so was DeSantis. And his answers, his response, typical Donald Trump.
I will never run against him, ever. She said this for years. Then she calls a news conference. Ladies and gentlemen, I've decided to run for president. I said, that's not so surprising because I understand Nikki. She can't help herself. I understand her very well, better than anybody. By the way, she's not up to the job, okay? I can tell you that. I don't want to be mean. If I said that about a man, everyone would say, what a great statement. But I'll tell you about, from Ron's standpoint, he's definitely not up to the job. I know him very well. I got him elected. He forgot about that. He forgot that he was a three. He was dead, gone. He forgot that he came to me, tears in his eyes, begging for an endorsement, and I endorsed him.
Yeah, he did. And when he stepped forward and endorsed DeSantis, that helped put him over the top in his race for governor. History carries a long ways, but you reach a point where if you're not of value to me, you may not be dead to me, but there's the door. Don't let it hit you on the way out. I'm looking at an analysis by CNN, and they say that the big question about Trump's performance in Iowa tonight isn't just whether he will win, but whether he would do so in a fashion that demonstrates the GOP electorate has no appetite for a Trump alternative. The final Des Moines Reporter NBC News MediaCom poll just released over the weekend found Trump with 48% support. That is well ahead of Nikki Haley at 20% and DeSantis at 16%. And it's close. It's close to breaking the 50% threshold. And that's their question. Will Trump top 50%? You've already told me that he's 28% ahead of Haley and 22% or more ahead of DeSantis, more than that, actually. And it adds in Trump remains a clear favorite to win the Republican presidential nomination for a third consecutive election. What's less clear, according to CNN, is whether the road to the nomination will get more difficult after Iowa. You know what I hear in there? In that one statement? He's going to win Iowa, but it's going to get tougher going forward. In other words, it won't really be a victory to celebrate. It'll be a wait and see what happens next. And if he takes New Hampshire, what are they going to say then? Well, it's going to get tougher from here. It's going to always be move the goalpost, the typical leftist approach to things. That's fine. Keep mooling them because he's still advancing. Whether you like him or not, you cannot deny what's happening. What they do add, then, what is less clear is whether the road to the nomination will get more difficult after Iowa. And yes, we know they're going to say it is. Haley and DeSantis still jockeying to see who's left standing to take a one-on-one shot at Trump. But major donors and party officials who would be interested in backing the winner of that race for second place will also be watching the gauge to see whether Trump is vulnerable or not. Take it this way. If you've got a lot of money and you can put into one of these PACs and you want to support a winner, not a loser, who wants to give money to a loser? Well, you're throwing your money away. Why would you do that? What happens after Iowa may determine where some more of that money falls. Now, a lot of it has been given to Nikki Haley. DeSantis has called her out for it. So has Vivek Ramaswamy. Even Trump. She's getting a lot of corporate dollars, makes it appear that she's already a corporate sweetheart. She's going to go in there and do everything good for the big corporations, not for the American people. That's their position. They add this. If more than half the party's electorate shows up on the coldest caucus night ever to vote against Trump, it could signal some weakness, you think? DeSantis had said Sunday, it's not going to be that many people in the grand scheme of things are going to participate. It may be significantly less than what happened last time, so your vote matters. Yes, the issue is weather. But the issue goes deeper than that for many Americans. I can go stand, and they don't have to stand in the cold. They're going inside for their caucus hearings. But they could decide, it's just too difficult. I don't want to go drive to it. I'm just skip out on it. The ardent supporters of Donald Trump are not going to go away. The only fly that might be in the ointment would be they think, well, he's going to win by such a big margin, they won't need my vote. Do not buy into that argument, be it in Iowa or any future election. Do not buy the argument that the polls show him such a runaway in a primary or even a general that you decide, they don't need my vote. Your vote is important. It needs to be kept. By the way, there's word also that Joe Biden is trying to still stay alive and stay relevant. In the fourth quarter, according to the money reports they had to file with the Federal Election Commission, raising more than $97 million for his presidential campaign. That's $97 million. That will be actually to face a Republican opponent in November. They're not spending any money in the primary, except occasionally fire shots at Trump, trying to demolish him before the election. So Biden's election campaign, along with the Democrat Party, ended the year with $117 million. That's the highest cash on hand figure for any Democrat candidate at this point in the cycle. There was a CBS YouGov poll released Sunday showing there is no clear leader in a hypothetical general election matchup between Biden and Trump. 50% of the voters surveyed backed the former president, Trump, 48% support Biden. It's that razor thin, if that stays. Well, that in part may, and of course that's hypothetical, just Trump against Biden, but you can't take away where they stand with Haley and everyone else. One of the issues that Trump is going to hammer home, and it is the one that is affecting even blue cities and states, illegals.
So on day one, I will seal the border and I will shut down the invasion of our country. It's an invasion. This isn't a normal situation. This is an invasion. Thank you. 3 years ago, we had the most secure border in U.S. history by far. We built 561 miles of border wall. You know, if there's a little piece, if there's a nail from a wall that was there 75 years ago, a little bit of a nail left from the rust, or if there's a 2x4 that's rotted out laying on the ground someplace, they say, that's not a border wall. That's a renovation. No, it's not a renovation. It was, you'd see little areas where you'd have some dead wood rotting on the ground for 40 years. We built over 500 miles, much more than I said I was going to do. And then we had an additional 200 miles that we were getting ready to put up. We could have done it in 3 weeks. He could have done it. And they decided not to do it. And that was a terrible thing because our border is a mess. But they actually wanted open borders. That was the amazing thing.
That is the amazing thing. And to that point, Georgia Congressman Richard McCormick says they got what they've wanted.
They don't want a solution. If they think that these people were coming here to vote for Republicans, then they'd all of a sudden have a solution. But they want to literally confound the way we vote. They want to give power to people who are low-skilled workers who are going to be reliant on the government. That's going to make them lean to the left because they absolutely believe that the government is the solution to everyone's troubles. And they want a voter constituency here that will vote for people who believe in government rather than in individual accomplishments. And I'm not saying that you can't come from nothing to everything in the United States. That's what we're all about. But we have to know who's coming here. We have to know what rate. We have to set it appropriate to what we can support and on our terms, our legal terms. We already have laws. Obama was famous for quoting to say that we are a nation of laws, and that's why he kept our sovereign brothers. That's why he deported people, that he followed the law. They're the same laws that exist today. All Biden has to do is actually support the laws that already exist. You don't have to make new ones. And we have H.R. 2 on his desk anyway. If the Senate would ever get him and do their job, we don't need to compromise more. Just do the laws that we already have, and we'd be fine.
We'd be fine. Follow the damn law. Now, as much as the Biden White House is trying to convince Americans border issues is not really a crisis, and it's not even our fault, according to them, impeachment proceedings against DHS Secretary Mayorkas continue to move forward.
Much has been said today by our colleagues across the aisle about this hearing and the purposes for it. It's been called a waste of time. It's been called a charade. It's been suggested that it's repetitive or unnecessary. To suggest that this hearing is any of those things, or to suggest that this hearing is tantamount to nothing more than a discussion of policy differences, is to fundamentally deny the seriousness, the scope, the scale of the catastrophe at our southern border. And the testimony of these witnesses who are here today and every witness that has come before them to testify in front of this committee about the seriousness of this crisis. We are here today because Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has intentionally gone around and subverted the immigration laws of the United States of America.
That's exactly true. And again, that's Florida Congresswoman Laurel Lee. And she said, you know what? There's still more charges that could be coming.
We are here today because Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has repeatedly defied orders from courts directing him to cease and desist certain policies, which he continues to utilize. We are here today because the Department of Homeland Security has defied inquiries from Congress trying to get to the bottom of the scope and the scale of this crisis. And we are here today because Secretary Mayorkas has defied congressional directives related to spending, congressional directives as to how money was supposed to be spent. We are here because there is an unchecked flood of illegal immigration at our southern border that is destroying not just border communities, but communities around our country. Today alone, we have heard extraordinary and compelling testimony about the utter lawlessness that is occurring in this administration. Attorney General Knudsen shared with us that he perceives a refusal to faithfully execute the laws of the United States and shared stories from his state about human trafficking and fentanyl trafficking and the devastation that has occurred because of our wide open southern border.
And numerous blue cities and states acknowledge they have a big issue. And they need more money. There's their solution. Coming up in the next hour, the state of Texas is defending its southern border because the Department of Homeland Security won't. Leftists think that's wrong. I don't, obviously. And later in this hour, stirring speech of MLK, I Have a Dream. We're going to go back and revisit that as we focus on efforts to save unborn children as well. But up next, Biden continues walking a tightrope over dealing with Israel and all the progressives who continue to support terrorists. Even Biden takes a back step and says, oh, that might be a terrorist group. No kidding. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, But if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
Well, they used to make a living off a bathtub gin. When the hippie showed up, weed was in. Well, they profit off of weakness and they always have. Now meth is a recipe for cold hard cash. Something's cooking and it just ain't right.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Protesters outside the White House over the weekend. This after the U.S. carried out retaliatory strikes, circle retaliatory on your program there, on Houthi rebels in Yemen over the weekend.
Well, President Biden not at home. He spent the weekend on another vacation, this time at Camp David. But Peter Ducey is live at the White House right now with the latest. Good morning to you, Peter.
Good morning. And on Saturday night, the Secret Service sized up that crowd and they determined that White House staff and reporters who usually are on the North Lawn were not safe standing right where we are standing behind an iron fence and a line that has police on the outside and on the inside. To listen to this group, they were chanting things like from the river to the sea, and they were screaming F Joe Biden as they tried to topple a temporary security fence. Authorities tried to keep this crew in Lafayette Park off the actual fence line to prevent the kind of property damage that happened last time when faux bloody handprints were smeared all over the fence. They couldn't get it off for days. It does appear there is some blood red spray paint on some of the jersey barrier in the park, but other damage appears limited.
Appears limited. But again, it was a mass rally shouting F Joe Biden. And you know why? Because he's been standing with Israel, but his stance is very weak. And it's subject to change. As I've said from the beginning, he is standing on shifting sand. He's waiting to see which way the wind will blow, which way the current will take him, which way the progressives will support him or not support him. And he's got a very delicate balancing act underway. Joe Biden has, from the beginning, created a lot of the issues we have currently in the Middle East. Let me give you a perfect example. You were hearing that we were carrying out attacks on the Houthis, and that's apparently got some folks upset. When Joe Biden went into the White House, the Houthis were among terrorist nations, terrorist groups, and proxy groups, as was Iran. One of the first things he did was remove the Houthis from the list of terrorist. Why? I couldn't even begin to explain, other than stupidity. You know they hate America. You know they're funded by Iran. And you know Iran and the mullahs are constantly shouting, death to America. And you don't want to make them on the terrorist list? Was it part of the whole scheme to maybe we can be friends with Iran? Let me repeat again. You cannot be friends with a terrorist. A reporter had asked Biden just last Friday, are you willing to call the Houthis a terrorist group, sir? His response, I think they are. There is no I think they are. You say emphatically, of course they are. But it was in Feb 2021 that Biden reversed Trump's designation of them as terrorists because they had to cut them off from international banking. The Biden administration argued the move would hurt Yemeni civilians and hinder negotiations with the group. The Houthis are based in Yemen. And if you cut that off, then you'll hurt Yemen, which at that time was locked in a war with U.S.-backed Saudi Arabia. The former Trump Pentagon Chief of Staff, Kash Patel, is quoted in an interview last month that designating the Houthis as terrorists was important in order to squeeze their funding and deter further attacks in Saudi Arabia, where we have U.S. troops stationed. He said, you shut them down financially. You're able to target them as terrorists. If they meet the threshold, you're able to take out their leadership, those who are actually the terrorists. But when you remove the designation, like the Biden administration did, you give them access to the global banking system. You allow them to travel freely. You allow them to engage in business with our allies. You allow them to get money, get funded. You allow Iran to pay them. And we don't have a recourse since they're not a designated terrorist organization, operationally and intelligence-wise. They're not a priority to take out. They're not a priority for intelligence collection purposes. The words of Kash Patel talking about how things have changed since Biden came in. And, of course, they've been steadily firing missiles, sending attack drones at the U.S. military, international commercial vessels in the Red Sea, claiming this is all retaliation for the Israeli offensive against Hamas. You follow the line of reasoning there? They're attacking U.S. vessels and merchant vessels to retaliate because Israel attacked Hamas. Why did Israel go after Hamas? You know why. October 7, when Hamas terrorists swarmed over the buffer zone and decided at that point they were going to kill and rape, mutilate innocent men, women, and children. So last week, Biden finally got around to ordering strikes, trying to degrade their ability to continue. More than 150 munitions fired at 16 different locations, according to the Pentagon. But then asked on Friday if Biden would continue bombing if the Houthi attacks did not stop, he said, and I'm quoting, we will make sure that we respond to the Houthis if they continue this outrageous behavior along with their allies. And then a reporter followed up. How soon are you willing to designate them as terrorists? Biden's response, it's irrelevant whether they're designated. We put together a group of nations that are going to say that if they continue to act and behave as they do, we will respond. Well, so have they. The Houthis fired an anti-ship cruise missile at a U.S. Navy destroyer just yesterday. Just yesterday. I'm looking at some of the other information coming out. They also had a Houthi ballistic missile strike an American cargo ship. I don't see any reports on casualties at this time, but this was a U.S.-owned or operated ship. This is, again, a bulk shipping company confirming that one of its ships carrying steel products hit by an unidentified projectile about 100 miles offshore in the Gulf of Aden. So for all of Biden's talk, they continue to do what they want. Yemen is below Saudi Arabia and to the southeast of Oman. But it's right at the crux, the turn point, coming out of the Red Sea, going south into the Gulf of Aden, and then into the Indian Ocean. Houthis control primarily that choke point. The Red Sea is something like 1,400 miles long. Width of the largest part is maybe, did I say 1,400 feet? I meant 1,400 miles, if I misstated. The width of the Red Sea is something like 200 miles at the most narrow point. And which, by the way, I'll remind you, we do have Iranian vessels also inside the Red Sea. They have not fired directly on any U.S. sources so far. So far. We did have twin attacks in central Israel, killing an elderly woman, 17 others. These again taking place in Israel. The Israeli police said they got two suspects already. They were hitting an area that is occupied, in the occupied West Bank area. The Gaza death toll, apparently, at last check, is passing 24,000. And there's no doubt many are innocent men, women, and children. But they're in Gaza, and the Hamas terrorists like to hide, as I've said, under baby beds, and we know under hospitals and refugee centers, thinking they'll be safe, that no one will come after us here because they have to kill civilians. The Israeli Defense Force is doing its best to avoid, quote, collateral damage, but you can't get it completely. We do have Hamas releasing a video yesterday showing three of the Israeli hostages currently being held in captivity in Gaza. They state their name, their age, place of residence while looking into the camera. And according to the Israelis watching it, this is obviously showing that they've been victims of torture and more. Saudi Arabia is stepping up where it stands. This could be key. Saudi Arabia is not ruling out befriending Israel. You heard me right, that they might decide to go with Israel. In fact, weeks before Hamas launched the October 7 attack, Saudi Arabia already indicated is inching closer to normalizing diplomatic ties with the Jewish state. Now, despite 3 months of war, leaving 23,000 Palestinians dead, the Arab world angry, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, is signaling a recognition of Israel could still be on the table. That's a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword because on one it says that some Arab countries we know will stand with Israel, part of the accord that had been put together previously. But it also is going to incense others in the Arab community. And I will tell you right now, I think you simply wait and see how fast Saudi Arabia is suddenly under attack by terrorists. Coming up, I want to focus on Thrive, a day of compassion, basically helping, supporting women who might be considering an abortion and doing it without judging them. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270. New specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
This is News Talk STL.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same. 'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old Studley Roy. And the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse, ride a cowboy.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Today is Martin Luther King Day, and we know that, actually many people probably don't know, but we in the movement of life understand that he was actually pro-life. He understood that there couldn't be any real freedom for human beings and for the tribe that he represented at that time through civil rights if African-American children and any children were finding the end of their lives at the hands of someone else. The Day of Compassion is Thrive's take on something that I thought sounded, you know, kind of heady and ominous, the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. I absolutely love the concept. I actually love the title, but it sounds a little bit lofty and maybe a little bit hard to access for the average everyday person. And what's really cool about it, though, is it was actually passed by Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, where he actually set out this real decree for a moment to reflect on the beauty of life and when life begins.
That is a statement from Bridget Van Means. She is the president and vision leader of Thrive St. Louis. She was on the Mike Ferguson show today with Mike and, of course, Gabe Pfeiffer and Stephalonics. Still, I cannot believe I did that. I'll get it right. I apologize, Still. But they were talking about Thrive St. Louis and how it's grown into much bigger than just here anyway. Always has been. Bridget Van Means has been the vision leader locally, and some call her somewhat of a firebrand. Well, yeah, she's passionate about what she believes. as she should be. And as she was saying, it's important that we stop and think about this, especially on this day, MLK Day, because Martin Luther King Jr. was also anti-abortion. This was a time when Planned Parenthood was sweeping through the black churches, trying to convince black pastors you need to encourage your young women, if they get pregnant, to get an abortion. Send them to us. We'll take care of them. It's genocide of the black populace. Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, had even said at one time, we need to get rid of the weeds, talking about black people in particular, and especially if they do not measure up in some other capacity. If they're infirm in some way, if they have a sickness, or they're just a nuisance. And she convinced black pastors to put that message out to members of their churches. Martin Luther King had a very strong stance on making sure women had an option. Now, and I've said this before as well, too. You can't just tell a woman she can't have an abortion. You got to provide some kind of option for her that will work with her and her needs now and into the future. It's not just one day of helping, getting her to walk away from an abortion clinic. It means providing something for her down the road. In some cases, there are men that have been involved, obviously, that have decided to walk away and leave the woman to fend for herself and the child. Shame. Shame on those men. There are many men that get a woman pregnant they didn't intend to, and they often will step up and help. But sometimes their quickest and easiest way to help is, I'll pay for the abortion. The Roe v. Wade decision we had last summer restated abortion is not law of the land. And it returned it to where it should be, and that is with the states. Numerous states have passed various pieces of legislation. They're not uniform. And there are states that have more strict and less strict abortion rules, and some that have none, even regarding the age of the pregnant, in some cases, pregnant child, not woman, pregnant child. But if she can get there with the help of someone else, they'd be glad to perform an abortion. The Thrive Day of Compassion is to take a look back and realize that we need to have compassion for these women that get caught in these instances. And for men in particular, and that would include me, it is so easy to sit back and say, well, you can't get an abortion. There's got to be other options. Well, you better provide something. That means if it's your daughter, you don't throw her out. You give her a place to stay and comfort her and the baby. The interview she was doing this morning on the Mike Ferguson program touched on a lot of things that can be done, not only in Missouri, but across the nation, to help these women. And at the same time, destroying the brand of Planned Parenthood. Now we have Planned Parenthood already under attack for, well, maybe they won't get a physical abortion at a clinic. They'll just get some of these pills mailed to them. Those pills are basic chemicals that women will ingest that will basically chemically destroy what's in their womb. But it might also leak into the rest of their body. And then they've got additional complications. This is not the morning after pill. This is actually to dissolve an implanted fetus. And one thing Bridget Van Means, in talking on the Mike Ferguson Show, was very clear about, church support is needed.
Women who are facing this very complex, oftentimes frightening, I could go as far as to say terrifying moment in their life, inflection point, that they need support, and that the church has to be a place and can be a place of safety for them where they can reach out for help. Because interestingly, you guys, and this kind of makes sense if you think about it, more than half of the women who do end up choosing to end the life of their child through abortion are actually regular churchgoers. So they are Catholics and Christians, this is statistically, who attend church regularly, who are making that choice. And so what that means is that they're not feeling safe reaching out to the resources in their church to get help. So we want to really move towards empowering, equipping pastors and churches to make their church a safe place for women experiencing this crisis.
Which means they have to go to somewhere where they will be not judged, not shunned, not have guilt pushed on them, but a place where they will be welcome and a chance to deal with the situation facing them. That does not mean that you endorse that they got pregnant out of wedlock. It does not mean that you endorse even the thought that they might do an abortion. I wanted to say what's in my mind, I might as well say it, that they wanted to kill a baby. And there are some members that are in Thrive already that have been through that. They've been down that road, and they regret what they decided. Too late to take it back for that child. And then when you look at the abortions based upon race, let me give you an overall breakdown in the U.S. This figure is the most recently dated I've found, and I think this goes 2021, but I also see part of it comes from 2023. So I think maybe the prime focus would be data from before June 24, 22, when the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. And based on this, on the U.S., of those getting abortion racially, 30% are black, 22% Hispanic, and again, as you heard her say, many of them of the church, the Catholic Church in particular, that's against their religion. They don't want to, but they didn't see they had another option. 30% white, 22% Hispanic, black, 42%. And you look at states where you know there's a high black population, Alabama, 64% of abortions are committed on black women. District of Columbia, another black enclave, 57% of those are black. Georgia, 69%. Now, they could have left state and gone across another state line, or those are accurate numbers. And states do not have to report abortions to the CDC. It's not required. In fact, I found that interesting. No states, no jurisdictions voluntarily had to report data to CDC for inclusion. There is no national requirement for data submission or reporting. So we don't really know how many children have been aborted. but the trends show you where most of it is. Now, having a baby obviously can be very hard for some women, not just physically, but emotionally, even if the woman has support. And sometimes the only way they see out of the situation right then is abortion. That's the only way they see. And that's why Thrive Day of Compassion should be a focus.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We have to understand that when a woman is facing a pregnancy that she did not plan, and it many times is in a circumstance of duress and challenge, that it's not black and white for her. And so the more sophisticated to a degree that we can be about our response, the more comprehensive, and make sure that we're creating an environment in our churches that understands and communicates that we understand complexity, that we understand this is a real challenge that she's facing. She really is possibly going to have to make sacrifices. It is going to be the most significant life change that she will ever make. And many of the women are having to make that choice with a lot of challenges. I mean, it's stressful even in the best of circumstances. Becoming a parent is wonderful, but becoming a parent is hard.
It is hard. If you become a parent, you got a lot of obligations you didn't have before. So it's not easy road either way. And for some, it's easy to be talked into, well, you know what, why don't you just abort it? You don't have to worry about it. You're not ready for it yet. Again, that is Bridget Van Means with the Thrive Day of Compassion, as she appeared this morning in the interview of Mike Ferguson in the morning with Mike, Gabe Pfeiffer, and Stel Ponticus. They often have a lot of good news, opinion, and analysis in the Mike Ferguson Show in the morning. If you're not catching it, I strongly encourage you to do so. And I asked them if I could use those cuts from Bridget Van Means today, because she spoke to a lot of things that were on my mind, and especially with this being MLK Day. Let me go back to one of the most memorable speeches delivered by him, 1963.
Where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream. Down in Alabama with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today.
But you know what has ruined that dream for today? DEI. DEI, and you also have those who constantly play a race card as a victim card. Stacey Abrams, and then Fannie Willis of Georgia. They're two examples. We'll get into them more in the next hour. Reminding you, as always, remember our pledge, one nation under God.